Certainly appreciate the message from Brother Pete Horn. You never leave a service when Brother Pete has preached that you don't know exactly what the Lord put up on his heart and what he wanted to convey to the people. You know it very well. Appreciate Brother Pete. Appreciate the message. Brother Ron Cripps, the same way. I feel honored to be able to be on the agenda here today with these two men. Brother Chris got a very unique way of preaching. He certainly will make you think as he preaches, but also he's kind of got a way of preaching. You get to listen to him and you think, well, that's good, that's good, that's good. Then you stop for a minute and say, hey, didn't he just goad me? I think he just stomped on my toes. And I didn't even realize that. You kind of catch yourself. But certainly appreciate Brother Chris for a lot of different reasons. We certainly thank the Lord again to be able to be here today. Brother Ross, the church here, I always feel good about coming into the house of the Lord here with you all. There's always a good atmosphere here. There's always some like peace and tranquility here. And we thank God for that. Church family is important to us. I know it's important to Brother Tom. He loves the Lord, as he already said about his family. Brother Tom absolutely loves his family. He loves to preach. He loves the Lord. Loves his church family. He loves his family. If you're around Brother Ross a very length of time, he'll talk about his family. If you look on Facebook, it's about family. I know you got to kind of put gardening in there somewhere, but he certainly does love his family, as certainly do I. I've got a nephew right now that is in hospital, COVID pneumonia. He's got some underlying health conditions. He's not was not doing so good. They put him in the hospital. His wife, Deidre, also was with COVID. And they took a trip up north to pick up Deidre's grandmother. She's also in the hospital with COVID and 90 years old in really critical condition. We certainly ask you to pray for them. As you pray for my sister, and she's overwhelmed thinking about her son, her daughter-in-law, the mother, the grandmother as well, and I ask you to pray for them. I don't ask you to just pray for them as a name on the prayer list. I ask you to pray for her son like it's your son. That makes it different, don't it? Makes it a whole lot more personal. You be praying for him. Ask God to bless. I thank God for my family. I ask you to pray for my family, my wife, Sister Sandy. I ask you to pray for them, my children, and my son-in-law, my daughter-in-law. I've got a grandson, 18 years old, went off to college, Mason. I'd ask you to be praying for Mason. Sometimes we raise up our children, they learn, they come to this church, they're faithful to things of the church, they serve the church, they go off to college, and then they go awry. We don't want to see that happen in Mason's life. You pray for him, I pray for him, I ask you to pray for him. I ask God to keep him strong, keep him faithful to the things of the Lord. Got a grandson, 11 years old, his name is Carson. Fine young man, can't hardly talk to you, not because he's got a speech impediment, like I do sometimes. They just all the time a grin. It's the biggest grin ever was. Happy little fella. Happy big fella. He's a growing day by day. He got a good mind. He got a working mind. This other day we sit around the table, was talking about the mask. You wear a mask? Don't you wear a mask? And somebody brought up and said, well, they say the mask don't help you. Help the other person. And they're not for you necessarily, but for the other person. Helps the other person. He sat there a little bit and he spoke up and he said, well, he said, why don't we just wear the mask wrong side out? So that way it'll help them and help us too. Kind of astounds me. You think about that a little bit, what he said. Took me just a little while to grasp what he was talking about. Got a little granddaughter. She's almost a splitting image. 9 years old in actions and looks a whole lot as well. Of my wife, Sister Sandy. And she'll let you know that she wears that with a badge of honor. She'll let you know she like her Mama Sandy. And I just say this about her. I know we got to get out here before midnight. You got to go to bed. We get to talk about her kids, her grandkids. And she puts spark in old Papa's step. And I'm getting to the age I need a little extra spark, all I can get. And she puts a lot of spark in my step. She's 9 years old, getting close to the age of being saved. And I'd ask you to continue to pray for her. Pray for her as well. As Brother Tom said, seeing your family saved. What's more important than that? The wealth, profit, what's profit? I'm a trader. I've traded all my life. Grew up in a trading family. You think about profit and making money and making profit. I have a hard time sometimes still deal with that. Sometimes the way my mind works. Appreciate the message there, Brother Chris. Like you turn your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 11, verse 1 through verse 10. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 through verse 10. And we're going to be, I can title the message, Teach Us to Pray. Teach Us to Pray. I know I'm not going to be able to teach you anything new today. I'm not going to teach you anything new. but we pray that it will be a help and a blessing to you. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 through 10. And it came to pass that he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said to them, which you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend us three loaves. For a friend of mine, his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is a friend, yet because of his inopportunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you to help me, bless me, give me the things that I want to say. Lord, the things most importantly you'd have me to say. Give us open ears and a ready heart to receive your truth today. Lord, I do not come today, Lord, being a serious individual, Lord, as we think about prayer. And consider myself a great prayer warrior, Lord. I know I lack in that area, Lord, so I'm not preaching something that I'm trying to be haughty or high-minded. Lord, I stand in need of having a greater prayer life. Lord, I'll acknowledge that before I continue on. Lord, but I ask you just tell me that I can learn, and even as I learn, as I prepare the message, as I preach it. But not only do I preach it, Lord, but I'll be able to practice more fully what I know to be your word. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My family went not long ago to Niagara Falls, talked to other people, go to Niagara Falls. Somebody said one time, one of the greatest power sources in the world, unused power sources in the world, all that raw energy and power. Heard another person with a Christian viewpoint said the most unused power source in the entire universe is the power of prayer of God's people. In verse 1, we understand our Savior, Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, was a praying individual. The Bible speaks much about the prayers of our Lord. Upon being asked to teach the disciples, read the following. You read there, start off in verse 10. Jesus taught we, number one, address our prayers to the Father, the one that inhabits eternity, sovereign of all creation. Creation, we heard that preached earlier today about God's creation, God's mightiness in his creation. Someone gave me 15 homing pigeons, and I've been able to use them as an opportunity to share with people, and they talk about it. And, you know, some people are fascinated with homing pigeons, want to know how and why, and they do like they do, and all about that. It gives me opportunity to share about the wonder of our God, because God created them to be able to do the things that they do. But our God, great creation, we call it his creation because he brought into this all that we have, all that we see, and what we are not able to see, he brought it all into being. You use the word he being the triune God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. He is first and foremost, as we understand and think about our God, when we address our prayers to our Heavenly Father. He's the Holy One of Isaiah chapter 6. He's the Holy One of the book, the Bible, we have before us here today. And we are thankful as we have this holy God, this mighty God, that we have the privilege to be able to come to him in prayer. As we think about the holiness of our God, it's through his attribute of holiness that all other attributes follow. Hallowed be his name, the Bible says. Holy is our Lord. As we think about our God, we think about his sovereignty as well. His sovereignty is being acknowledged and to be recognized. There is none greater than my Lord, my God, your Savior, and your Lord. Nothing can stay his hand. His perfect will was always going to be accomplished. And that gives me great comfort of heart and soul and assurance in my mind. It gives me great confidence to keep on keeping on. All is in the power of my Lord. His perfect will is always to be accomplished in all things, particularly as we think about the great salvation has been granted to us as his children. And God's sovereign will might not sound too good, might not be real good kind of English speaking, but in God's sovereign will, He worked on what? He worked on my will, or if you would. Bring us to a place under conviction through the message of the gospel, draws us by His mercy and His grace through repentance of sin. We believe those are inseparable graces that are granted by God Himself. Brought us to a place we recognized our sin, cried out for forgiveness. We was reconciled to the Lord Almighty God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, making us a new creature, literally being born again all through the atonement, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus taught in verse 3, as you approach Him daily by faith, by His abundant, boundless grace, He will supply our needs. That's a great and wonderful promise in God's Word. All is given by the hand of our Lord. All is in control of our Lord. All that we have, all that anybody has, is by the grace and the hand, the good hand of our Lord. He's to be praised and thanked for His providential care, His provision for His own. All we need, and at times, even gives us some of the wants that we want and have desire of. But as James chapter 4, verse 3, at times, you like I ask amiss, and we receive not because we ask amiss, that we may consume it upon our own lust. Be mindful of what you ask for. Aren't you thankful for all the answered prayers? And can't you sometimes look back and be thankful as well for unanswered prayers that God said no? Certainly I can think that and thank God for that. Verse 4, we're taught to daily ask for forgiveness. Why? Because even though we're saved, there's a battle that rages within our heart. And that old nature will fight against that new nature. As Romans chapter 7 very readily tells us, the new man inside don't always win out over the old man, the old depraved nature. And we sin. Not because that we don't have the power within, that God's not made us the ability that we can not sin. Through His power, we don't have to sin, but because the old flesh nature within never lets up. And we let our guard down. And when you let your guard down, sin will prevail. Constantly be on guard against the devil, against sin. Not just the devil, not the old boogeyman, but our own depraved nature within us. That what we have within, the Holy Spirit, we can and are promised to prevail. Oh, I've met a few just like you. They talk, act like they've never sinned. But the Bible says they're liar and the truth's not in them. My grandpa one time, somebody was talking about a certain fellow, and asked my grandfather about his character and said, well, is that person truthful? My granddad said, well, I'll tell you what, said, that person is a pile of truth. When they bury him, the preacher will say that there's a pile of truth right there, because it never did come out. Now listen, the devil is a liar. And those that try to live or promote or say they live a perfect life and have a second work of grace and all of that, and miss the word sanctification, they get that all messed up, think they live above sin. The Bible says we all sin. And we're to go to the Lord daily for that daily cleansing of forgiveness of sin. Just as 1 John chapter 1 tells us. It makes it ever so clear. Just as Jesus taught, we sin. And the daily cleansing of forgiveness is possible as we come and confess that sin to our Lord. Someone said, well, if I believed in eternal security like you believe, I would sin all I wanted to. What's the reply to that? I believe in eternal security, and I sin more than I want to. You understand that? I think you do. As is ever true child of God. Because we're saved by eternal grace, does it give us a license to sin? The Bible says God forbid that it gives us a license to sin. In verse 4 also, Jesus taught how we need to look for guidance. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 5 tells us that we're to seek those things above. Ask for awareness. Ask for that God would help us to remember that we'll fight and fight the good fight of faith and understand that to continue on in sin makes us dull. And we can't see the things of the Lord. Like old Samson, we don't even realize that the power of God sometimes raised up off of us because of sin, unconfessed sin. And we continue on to 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. He'll make a way to escape. The problem is, we don't look for the escape hatch. We don't look for the exit quick enough. Don't wallow in the sin of the world like a pig in the mud. The Lord says, come out from among you. Be you separate, saith the Lord. Live a holy life as our Lord is holy. The best thing is don't even put yourself in the position. You have to say no. Don't put yourself, if you can keep from it, don't put yourself in the position that you have to make a decision. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, save from all appearance of evil. In verses 5 through verse 10, Jesus taught there in that passage we read, Jesus taught that we need to persevere in prayer. Persevere on in prayer. You say, when do you quit praying about a certain situation? You pray until God gives you the answer. Not the answer that you always want, but just keep praying until God answers that prayer. You say you're going to wear out God? No, you're not going to wear out God. But sometimes, how serious are we when we ask the Lord for something? Persevere in prayer. Verse 11 through 13, we didn't read, but the Lord knows what we need and answers our prayers as we come unto Him. I'm going to change just a little bit and think about some prayers we read in the Bible and what we can learn from them. A thought, though, before we do, whatever is it that brings us to a more dedicated, sincere prayer life? Is it the words of a preacher? Is it reading some book about prayer? Sunday school lesson? A song? What makes you have a more dedicated and sincere prayer life? Well, that was hit upon as well. Most of the time, it's through afflictions. Through afflictions. We get more serious and have more sincerity in our prayer and more frequent prayer as afflictions come in our life. I was thinking today, this morning, what I was going to preach. I was thinking about my excuse for not having a better prayer life. I was thinking about even this morning of not having a better prayer life this morning, knowing I was going to be preaching upon this. I get up early, get up every morning early at 5:30, got up just a little bit earlier this morning. I think we've got a blue-tailed lizard in our house. You know what a blue-tailed lizard is, a little blue-tailed racing lizard? And we've got a little miniature long-haired wiener dog. And she has been on lizard patrol. And before I got up this morning, she was in the shower. I don't know if it come up a drain or if it's in, she goes from the shower stall and she's even smelling up into the light sockets. And then she runs back around, comes into the other bathroom and comes up in where the plumbing is. I told my wife, I said, man, I hope it's not a snake. He said, oh, no, Brother Tim, don't even think about that. Well, I don't want to think about it. I'm not really worried about a snake so much. I don't want him to be in the house with me. But she got in that shower stall with them little toenails on that plastic shower stall, and she made all kinds of racket. I come out of that bed, I said, what's going on? What's going on? After that little blue-tailed lizard. A little later, I was asking the Lord about my prayer life, and I said, I thought to myself, I said, you know, we always make excuses. And most of the time, somebody told me one time that an excuse is a little bit of truth said excuse is a big lie wrapped up with just a little bit of truth. It really made me think about it. I try not to make too many excuses. But as I made an excuse in the Lord, as all of us can always say, my excuse was, and I thought in my mind, Lord, I'm awful busy. Awful busy, Lord. You know, the next thought coming to my mind was this. Like the Lord was saying back to me, well, what if I make it where you're not so busy? What if I put you on your flat of your back for a little while? We don't have so much time to do other things except look up unto me. And then I said, Lord, just let me be more faithful to pray, Lord. Let me be more faithful to pray. We think about prayers in the Bible. In Luke 18:13, we read of the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. We need to, in our prayer life, we need to be humble. God is God. And we're depraved creatures. We're a child of the King. We got a home in glory. We're somebody special to our Lord. He sent His Son to die for us. For no other reason than His own good pleasure, His own good will. Not because of who I am or what I am, but in spite of what I am. He saved me. We need to come to Him humbly. He is God. Let me think about in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26, and chapter 2, verse 10, the prayer of a rejoicing woman. That was Hannah, because God had given her a child. Boy, aren't we quick? Sometimes we complain about them old 9 lepers that didn't come back and thank the Lord. But how often do we not rejoice and then thank God for answered prayer? Then we think about in Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, the prayer of a man who repented of a broken vow. He'd spurned his calling, and that prayer was from the belly of a great fish. But he prayed unto the Lord. He repented in the Lord. He reminded himself of the vow that he had made unto God and what he needed to do. May we pray, and as we pray, remember our vows unto our God. Make things right with God. Then we think about in Psalms 51, the prayer of a repentant man of God who got involved in a terrible mess. As you heard again already, such things as David got involved in adultery often leads to murder. King David's prayer of repentance of his grievous affair with Bathsheba and the aftermath of that affair. You got to understand. You hear it, but sometimes we don't listen so well. Sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you're willing to pay. Heard that one time. Added just a little bit to it. It'll cost you what you cannot pay. That's what sin will do to you. We read in Luke 23, verse 34. Think about the prayer of forgiving others. Jesus hung on the cross, Father, forgive them. May we learn to forgive other people. We like to qualify that, don't we? Well, we'll forgive if they ask us to forgive. We'll forgive if they are sincere in their forgiveness, if we think they're sincere. I thought about that the other day. You know, some people are really quick to ask forgiveness. But you feel like when they ask, you know, an abuser will ask for forgiveness and forgiveness and forgiveness and forgiveness. But they're not looking for forgiveness. They're just wanting acceptance, and you accept that and go on. So you have to, are you to be a doormat? And I don't think nobody's to be a doormat. Somebody one time said, you know, I've got to love this person from a distance. I forgive them what they've done to me. Repeatedly, I've forgiven them, but now I've got to love them at a distance. So the other day I was thinking about somebody and what they'd done, and I thought you were just repetitive. Sometimes they have forgiveness way about them. Sometimes they don't even acknowledge that. But I thought to myself, well, they're not really sincere, so I'm not going to forgive them. You know what the next thought came in my mind was this. That's the Holy Spirit. Thank we got the Holy Spirit within us. Thank for the teaching we learned when we were younger. Thank for that we're not get completely dulled away to sin and get too comfortable by sin that we don't even realize. That we still have that goad to tell us when we're doing wrong. But the thought that came to my mind was, what about when the Lord saved me? Was he asking, was I sincere? Was I this? Was I that? I'll tell you what I was. I was a depraved, wretched sinner on my way to hell. And he saved me. Forgive people. You say, I can't. I can't. Can't do it. Too hard. I might say this again in a moment. You think about this. It was hard what Jesus went through. And that's almost blasphemous just to put it that lightly. What did Jesus go through to give you eternal life? We can read about it. We can think about it. We can dwell upon it. But there's no way that we can truly, truly fathom, because we can't understand the spiritual aspect of what he actually went through to pay our sin debt. It's hard to forgive, but forgive. The prayer of a faithful man was against all odds. In 2 Kings 19, verse 14 through verse 19, Hezekiah, he got the letter. The letter basically said, we're going to wipe you off the face of the earth, Hezekiah, and all of God's people, your people, the Israelites, the Jews. We're taking you down. I heard Brother Dan Gordon preach a message about that. I've never heard nothing just quite like that. What do you do? He said that his title was, what do you do when you get the letter? Well, the prayer of a faithful man of God. You know what he did against all odds? He took the letter, went into the temple, and laid it down to God. That's what we need to learn about prayer. Sometimes we're really quick. We're really quick to lay it down before the Lord. But you know what we do? You know what I do? Pick it up on the way out. Pick it right back up. It's hard for us to just let it go over to the Lord. But that's called trust and that's called faith. But it's hard for us to do that sometimes. Especially if you got a fixer mentality where you all the time want to fix something, to fix somebody. Well, you can't fix nobody. You can't fix yourself. You need to depend upon our Lord. He can fix all things. There's prayers in the Bible about wisdom, strength, health. There also need to be a prayer about all things. There's instances and examples of those that prayed in great prayers. A quick close down. I think we certainly need to pray with sincerity. I don't know. I've never heard it. I get the news feeds on my phone. It's a couple minutes. I told you I'd close. I lied to you. I might go over a couple minutes extra. But I always look at those news feeds. Try to avoid some of them, but I try to get picky where I read my news feed from. I didn't see it, but one of our members of a church on the way yesterday took his wife to get her two teeth extracted, root canals. And said his son said, uh-oh, said it's starting. He said, well, he says, what is it, son? And his son was looking on his phone. He said, let me read this to you, Dad. Again, I didn't see that. I don't know where his son picked that up, where he found it. He said there's over in Afghanistan, there's Christians was meeting somewhere in a group, and they come in and killed every one of them yesterday. And his son said, it's starting. Well, it has started. They never quit. They've never quit. What a tragedy. What a travesty. When you hear about that, how does that affect you? Well, you see, it makes me mad. It makes me angry. But what about compassion and love? what that member did, what the church member did. He said, and he started crying as he talked to me on the phone. He was crying. He said, when he read it to me, he said, I started crying, Brother Tim. He said, think about all those people dying and getting killed. He said, isn't that awful? And again, I had to quickly, you know, in your mind, you can process a lot of things real quick in your mind. In my mind, I said, well, Lord, forgive me, because my first thought was just anger. Well, is it holy indignation? Sometimes we like to say holy indignation, but it's not really holy indignation, just that old flesh nature. But his first reaction was compassion and crying because those people got killed. Having a sincere prayer. Pray with sincerity. What I asked you to do at the very beginning, you pray for Cameron. But you pray for him like he's your child. Went to the hospital. I was saved. Went to the hospital to visit my cousin's daughter. She had this big old, them old big balloon tars on them big high rise trucks, had the balloon tars, they called them. And that girl was laid in on the road, had fell down, the truck had ran over her. They said part of that tar track, they could see where it went over her. They seen it run over her head. They wouldn't do nothing for her at the hospital. They was waiting on the specialist, the x-rayer. They wouldn't do nothing hardly at all for her. She got her mouth was so dry she couldn't even hardly talk. She's like 4 or 5 years old. I went up there, one of the most heartful things I ever saw in my life, seeing her in that bed. You know what, though? As I looked at her, I did not see Serena. You know who I saw? Rebecca, my daughter. Now, I'm not one of these people with visions and all these weird experiences. I'm not downplaying people that sometimes have things that happen in your life. I'm just saying I don't have a lot of that. I'm not that. Maybe I should be more of. But as I looked in that hospital bed, in that little bed she was in, all I could see was Rebecca. When you pray for somebody in sincerity, and you don't pray for them as a name on a prayer list. We got so many names on a prayer list. You pray for them as your family and your loved one. And sincerity. What was the most important prayer, you think, in the Bible that was ever made by any individual? You may be saying at this point, well, I think the most important prayer right now, Brother Tim, would be closing in prayer for the food and go get something to eat. It might be the most important prayer you're thinking of right now. Because again, we have an old flesh nature. We get hungry. It's past 12 o'clock. I'm hungry all the time. Brother Jeff Wilbur, Brother John asked him one time, I said, Brother Jeff, I said, do you ever eat? Do you ever eat? He said, well, when I think about it. I said, what? That's all I ever think about. What do you ever think about it? What's the most important prayer you think is ever made in the Bible? Well, you think about that. Talk to your pastor about it later. If you're a member of the church, you're going to be here tomorrow. I think Brother Clarence, he kind of got me thinking about what I'm preaching today. He told me what the Lord put on his heart to preach to you all tomorrow. So maybe it'll all come out tomorrow. But you think about it, and maybe you talk to your pastor about that later or some other person. What do you think is the most important prayer ever made in the Bible? I believe if all goes as planned, the Lord will reveal things unto us just as His perfect will is being played out. If we pray, the Lord will reveal to us. Sometimes it's yes, no, or what's the hardest part? Wait. But God's in control. God's in control. Most of us here have probably learned nothing new. It may be a reminder to be a more faithful prayer warrior. And thank God for prayer warriors. And most of all, can we say thankful for a prayer answering God. Brother Tom.
job.